In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the Sunday of the forefathers, which means that we commemorate today, two Sundays before Christmas, how Christ came of a line that God had elected from the ages. And this is God's election, in which he chose our forefathers. And by our forefathers, we refer here to all the saints of the Old Testament, all those who came before Christ, those from whom Christ came. And as we sang in some of our hymns this morning in Matins, those who were forefathers from whom the Mother of God came, the Theotokos came as one of these, and then Christ was born of her. So I find it interesting that when we focus on even those who are of the Old Testament, going way back, well, we can't help but speak in exalted language of the Theotokos. Say, well, come on, we're not talking about you this morning, Theotokos. We're talking about all those forefathers. No, because they are the ones who faithfully received God's call. And who was it who in faith said, be it done to me according to your will? In the most magnificent way, it was the Theotokos. So even though we go back all the way to Adam and Seth, and Adam, Abel, and Seth, and then you get to Noah, we go to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we go to Moses and Aaron and Joshua, then we go, you should read that list that we have, especially in last night's service. Then we go to the prophets, and the major prophets are listed, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, and then the 12 minor prophets, and the Theotokos. And of her, of the forefathers, come Christ, our God. Christ came. That's what we're going to be celebrating in just less than 2 weeks. Christ came. Christ came. The Messiah came. All those forefathers were looking forward to the time when the Messiah would come. He came. And when he came, he said, come. Come to me. But the one who says to us, come, first came himself. How do we get right with God? How do we become saved? How is it that we become united with God and share in his life, his love? Do we have to climb this ladder and go way up? Oh, Lord. No, he came down. We would never have been able to reach up to God. Even the saints of the old covenant, they knew that they needed a Messiah. They needed a Christ. They needed a Savior. Christ came. And it's only when he comes all the way down to our level and takes upon himself our humanity in all of its brokenness, he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's only after he came down that he says to us, come. Now you come to me. He called his people to come. That's what his whole ministry was. And he started by focusing on the Jews, his own people, the people of promise, the people who could claim the forefathers as their own fathers. He came to them and he calls them and he says, come. They wouldn't. There were some that came, yes, the 12 apostles who became the new Israel. We won't go into that this morning, but By and large, his people did not come. The leaders of the Jews refused to come. They not only refused, but they rejected him. They set their face against him. And by their instigation, he was put to death. Well, this is, in our gospel this morning, this is the last time that Jesus has table fellowship with the Pharisees. If we had read the whole chapter, chapter 14 of Luke, we would have seen that. A Pharisee invited him to come for some meal, we'll say supper. He came. And they didn't like what he was doing. And so they criticized him. And they said, you know, you eat with tax collectors and sinners. And then Jesus tells this parable. First, he says to them, you know, when you have a special meal, why do you invite your rich neighbors and friends? You are much better off if you invite the lame, the blind, the sinners. Have them come, because they can't repay you. And it's only then, after that, that he tells this parable of the great feast. And the Pharisees, and he tells this to the Pharisees, they had just invited him over, and he tells them this parable about how the time had come, the messianic banquet is to be served. And the invitations went out. Notice that four things. First, the invitations go out. And then the excuses come in. Then new invitations go out. And then fourthly, those originally invited are left out. The invitations go out. You know, in that culture, when you were to have a special meal, a special festival, a special banquet, say if your son or daughter were getting married, you would you'd say, okay. You'd go out and you'd send someone out to all these people who are going to be invited to this special feast. And then, when you come right up to the point of that feast, you send them out again. You send out your servants again. Say, come, for all things are now ready. Is there any excuse why they wouldn't come? Oh, if you'd only told me earlier. Oh, if I had only known. Only, Lord, if you had sent prophets. If you'd only sent wise men. If you'd only prepared us a little better, we would have recognized you and come. No, they don't come. Excuses come in. I have married a wife. I bought me a cow. Please hold me excused. I cannot come. Josh laughs over there because he and I know some of the same songs growing up. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't bother me now. I have married a wife. I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Please hold me excused. I cannot come. The invitations go out, the excuses come in. Notice that these excuses are very legitimate in a sense. You know, I have married a wife. You know, if you had married a wife and in the Old Testament they were getting ready to go out to war, say you're a soldier. You're even a soldier. That's your job. You're a soldier, but you just married a wife. You just married your good. Your girlfriend become a wife. Then you're excused. You don't have to go out to battle for the next year. Okay, well, here they say we don't need to go. Sorry. Or you can say, you know, I just got these cattle. I've got my business to attend to. And, you know, even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, if you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than an unbeliever. So, you know, they come up with good reasons why they just can't come. You know, we can say too, well, I have a business to attend to. How can I support the church and its ministries if I don't put that first and make sure I'm successful in my business? Oh, well, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Well, that's putting something before God, isn't it? Or you can say, well, you know, I have a family. And, you know, the way things are now in school, my kids are involved in the sports, and so many of those sports are played on Sunday. I can't come. I got to show my kids I love them. I've got to be there to support them and encourage them. You know, we can come up with all kinds of excuses, but if you really love your kids, you're going to teach them that there's a family more important than them. There's a family that I want my children to be a part of that's more important than my little nucleus family, than mom and me, than mom and I. The best, most loving thing I can do for my children is to teach them that they're a part of a bigger and greater family, the family of God. And that their father is God the Father. And that the one who loves them more than they could ever imagine is that God who sent his son. The son who says, come. Come be a part of my family. So the Lord calls us. We can come up with excuses. We can say, well, you know, there are many other religions out there. Who am I to say that this is the right family? Wow. Can you imagine? Could you imagine your children saying that to you? Well, why should I have a special devotion to you, Mom, when there are other families out there too? Maybe I should be really devoted to them. The truth of the matter is that we've been given the truth. We have been given the joyful good news that God is our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there's only one Savior between God and man, one mediator between God and man. There's only one Messiah, one, and that is Jesus. Are we slapping others in the face by saying that? If I have some good news for you, how am I loving and kind if I don't share it with you? I want to just make this point. God elected. There's a God of election, and he chose those forefathers that we're speaking about today. He chose them. It's through them, through that election of God, that the special blessings of God for the whole world come to us. Does that mean that God doesn't love those who are outside of that elected community? He loves them tremendously. But his love reaches them through the elect community. What happened in part of my tradition that I grew up in, the Reformed tradition, part of that tradition wanted to say that only the elect are saved. And God is going to save and wants to save only the elect. And they reduced the idea of election to those who respond in faith and say yes. But God chose, who is the elect one? Who is the one chosen before all ages to save the world? It's Jesus. Jesus is the elect one. Did Jesus only love those who are good? Jesus came, and that election of God, which came through the fathers all the way to Jesus and now goes to us, we are elect too, in that God has chosen us to bring this the blessings of salvation to the whole world. Does God only love the elect? He loves the whole world. But through that election, through those whom he chose, he desires to have the storyline of salvation continue on. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? If you do, you're not going to say, I don't love other people or other people of other religions. You're going to love them more than anyone could imagine. Because God loves you and has chosen Christ through the forefathers. And now Christ has come, and we bear that same election. Who are you? You are a Christian. You are a Christ one. You are a Christ one. Through you, salvation comes into our families, into our communities, into the whole world. Thank God. Lord, I'm coming. I make no excuses. I hear your invitation with my heart, my soul, and my body. I join the chorus of angels who sing the glory of the coming of the Christ child. With the king, the kings of the east, I offer you my gold, frankincense, and myrrh. With Simeon, I proclaim this baby Jesus as God incarnate, as my Savior, my salvation, and the salvation of the world. With those who are broken in body and soul, with the blind, the hungry, the lame, and the sinners, I come to you to be healed. I come to you to be fed. Jesus says, come, for all things are now ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.